Mike, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
I'm really good, really good. A quick update on now I saw the gross pitcher from Tyler Seguin. Are they expecting him back for the playoffs, or is it too soon to tell?
He says, again, Dr. Seguin says he would be surprised if he misses game one. I'm not sure. The deal is he got the skate blade just went right down inside the back of the boot. And so he only got like a 15% cut of the Achilles. So structurally, there's 85% there that's really strong. So then it's not, I guess, a question of structure. It's whether this cut heals properly.
Yeah.
So in theory, I think, yeah, he should be ready. I mean, as it's explained to me, it makes sense that he could be ready in 3 weeks.
Okay.
But until we get there, we don't know.
Now, without him, they've done fairly well so far. Them in St. Louis, creating some separation with Chicago. So it's the Blues and the Stars for first place. Who has stepped up in the absence, albeit very brief thus far, of Tyler Seguin?
Well, and in fact, even before Tyler Seguin's injury, he had been moved to the right wing. And Cody Eakin, the Ginger Ninja, had been moved up to the number one center spot with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
And he now has 5 goals and 4 assists in the last 6 games. And he seems to be a number one center, believe it or not, at least as the Stars are rolling them out right now. He's playing very well. He's scoring points. He's obviously known as a pretty decent defensive player. And right now they got Ben Eakin Sharp as their top line, and then the Chushkin Spetsa Eves as their second line, and that seems to be working.
Now, Mike, who came up with the Ginger Ninja? Is that like you? Is that Razor? Who came up with that one?
I think the fans actually came up with it, but I know Razor uses it a lot. So he probably says he came up with it and the fans copied it.
I got to ask you, I mean, what's done is done, but is Seguin one of the many players who wears the Kevlar socks or no?
He does not. And he said he doesn't like them. Here's another one, and I don't ever understand guys who can do this. He doesn't wear a T-shirt. He just has the pad straps just rubbing against his skin, and he says he feels better when he doesn't have that stuff on. He says he wears the hose, but not the Kevlar. But now, of course, he says he's going to have to look into it. We have an interesting guy in Dallas, and Patrick Nemeth got really cut hard last year on his wrist by a skate blade and missed almost all the season. He wears pretty much every single Kevlar device he can wear now. So he's been a great experiment, I guess, for the players to look at and say, well, maybe I should try this or maybe I should try that, because he has looked into every protective piece of equipment that he can find. And so if Tyler Seguin wants to wear Kevlar socks, he has a great guy to go talk to him. And Patrick Nemeth, he said he didn't wear them before because they were too thick and uncomfortable.
Mike, just following up on the Achilles injury, I'm not a doctor, obviously, and your staff is going to know best, but if there's one thing, well, there's lots of things you have to take your time with, but the Achilles, it can go from 15% to a lot more in terms of a tear if you rush it. And the other thing is, how much can he, assuming he can't skate right now, how much even bike work can he do when we're talking about the Achilles?
Yeah, and he hasn't done any so far. I mean, he was on the radio today in Dallas and said all he can really do is just do some upper body work and just walk on it and try and keep flexibility. So it is. It's a great question. It's funny. Jason Spezza had an upper body injury, and he was out for, I don't know, 6-8 games and came back and said he felt great. And then everybody looks at Patrick Kane and says, hey, look, that guy missed 6 weeks, came back, and was great for the playoffs. But those are all upper body injuries. So then when you have one of those, you know, you can rehab your legs and really be fresh. Jason Demers is a guy who's got a shoulder, I believe, situation. And so if he can come back for the playoffs, you know, he really could jump in and be great. But when you can't do hardly anything or you're really cautious with your lower body, you're rusty when you come back, if you ask me.
Mike Eicher joins us. Oh, without a doubt. The one concern, Mike, that people from the outside have, and you watch the team closer than I, is come playoff time, is the defense core of the Stars good enough when the games become a lot more intense and physical?
I don't know. I think it's a very legitimate question. I think, you know, it goes along with the goaltending, and does the goaltending step up, you know, at a time when the game gets more intense? It's all wrapped together, and, you know, they've been playing really well lately, and a lot of that is because I think Cody Eakin is a good defensive two-way player, and then they're trying to balance every single line with good two-way play, and Lindy's been harping on the forwards, don't take unnecessary risks. And all of that comes to the fact that, hey, this is a fairly small, speedy, skilled defense, so we want to protect it as much as we can. And, oh, by the way, our goalies have a .900 save percentage, 27th or 28th in the league, so we want to protect them as best as we can. So it's a real balancing act of, okay, is protecting them, taking a few risks, and playing with the puck in the offensive zone, the quote-unquote safest death method, or is it really being a lot more cautious with how you do things? And they've been trying to balance it out in the last, few games. They've actually balanced it perfectly. They played really well against the Islanders. They played really well against the Blackhawks. So it's that balance of, can they, keep the puck in the offensive end of the ice, and when they're not in the offensive ice end of the ice, can they defend responsibly? And it's a team thing, and, you sit there, and I like Chris Russell. He's been really good, but he's tiny. And Alex Bologoski's 185, and John Klingberg's maybe 175. And those guys are going to get pushed around. When they've played the Blues and they've played the Kings, they get pushed around. So it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Mike. It matters where you finish. You want home ice and all that. But when you're talking about the makeup of this blue line, more than likely the road to the Stanley Cup is going to lead you through California. And there's a lot of big men there on both Anaheim, Los Angeles. You can go down the list outside that to St. Louis. That's the matchup that has to be given the coaches some trepidation, because small and skilled is one thing, big and skilled is another when it's leaning on you for a seven-game series.
Yeah, and the one good thing, I think, is as it draws out now, and, a lot can happen in eight games, but as it draws out now, they finish first and play either Minnesota or Colorado, or they finish second and play Chicago. And both of those are actually pretty good first-round matchups mm-hmm. for them. And as a team that hasn't been in the playoffs, they're going to be a little bit nervous. So if they can get a quote-unquote good matchup, I think that would help them in the first round. And then if they have to play St. Louis in the second round and L.A. in the third round, they'll deal with it at that point in time. But if they can get to the first round, they will be a different team, I think, because they'll get a little bit of confidence and they'll be, a little bit mentally stronger. I worry about their mental strength at times.
Mike, I honestly, right now, I think the Stars are going to end up facing Nashville in the first round, because I think the Blues are going to finish first in the Central, the Stars second. I think Nashville's going to catch Chicago. Chicago's reeling.
That wouldn't be a terrible matchup. The Nashville is a bigger physical team, but the Stars have played pretty well against them head-to-head. I think either Lettinen or Niemi would be kind of fired up to go head-to-head with Rene, since, he's kind of seen as the king of Finnish goaltending right now. They have an all-Finnish goaltending series. And I do actually think that, would get into their heads and say, okay, we want to beat this guy. So I don't think that would be a terrible matchup. But it's interesting watching all this in the West, because there are a lot of good teams who are playing a lot of good hockey right now.
And it's funny, the Stars have more games out of their division than they do in their division down the stretch. Usually the schedule maker tries to have a lot of divisional games down, but they actually play more against the Pacific than they do the Central. I haven't looked at their – is that a benefit to them? Are they better against the Pacific, or are they better against the Central?
They're better against the Central, but they don't mind the Pacific, since they were just out here a couple of years ago. And even in 2013, when they qualified for the playoffs, they went in the Pacific bracket. So, go figure. So they don't mind going out here. They're pretty used to it. It's 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Mike, as always, great stuff. Should be an interesting one to follow. And obviously, Stars fans, similar, we just had Josh Yowie on from Pittsburgh. They're hoping Malkin's back. Stars fans hoping Sagan comes back, because that could be a huge boost for both teams.
Yeah, definitely. And again, it all depends on, he has to be healthy. And so if he can come back and he can step in without being too rusty, then that's definitely a big plus for him.
Mike, always great to catch up with you, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
All right, talk to you soon.